The epistle for the Feast of All Saints is taken from the book of the Apocalypse, chapter 7. In those days, behold, I, John, saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the sign of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, till we sign the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them that were signed. 144,000 were signed, of every tribe of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Aser, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 signed. After this, I saw a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and in the sight of the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God who sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and the ancients and the four living creatures. And they fell down before the throne upon their faces and adored God, saying, Amen. Benediction and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving, honor and power and strength to our God, forever and ever. Amen. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 5. At that time, Jesus, seeing the multitudes, went up into a mountain. And when he was sat down, his disciples came unto him. And opening his mouth, he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the land. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after justice, for they shall have their fill. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they that suffer persecution for justice's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when they shall revile you and persecute you and speak all that is evil against you untruly for my sake. Be glad and rejoice, for your reward is very great in heaven. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. After this I saw a great multitude, which no man could number, standing before the throne and in the sight of the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. These words are taken from the epistle for the Mass today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, in the year 1998, the American journalist Tom Brokaw published a book that went on to be a bestseller. The book is titled The Greatest Generation. And in this book, Brokaw explores the stories and characteristics about certain people who lived through the Great Depression of the 1920s and the 30s, as well as about those who went on to fight in World War II and who contributed here in America during the war effort. Men and women who lived in this generation, he explains, worked and fought. Not for fame or recognition, but because it was the right thing to do. Brokaw thus expresses his belief that this generation was the greatest, for it was indeed a resilient generation, a generation that endured the dark days of World War I, a generation that grew up in the Great Depression, in which it experienced widespread unemployment, abject poverty, and the need to work extremely hard just to provide food, clothing, and shelter for oneself and one's family. And it was a generation that worked and fought and sacrificed through World War II. You know, after the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor and the United States entered the war in 1941, millions of men enlisted in the military to defend and fight for their country. While the men went off to war, the women rose to the occasion here on the home front to support their families and their country. And this included working very hard, working in factories and the like. What sacrifices these men and women made. What a willingness to work and to sacrifice in those days. What a readiness to rise to whatever the occasion demanded. You know, it's been said that hard times create strong men. And I think that we can say in many cases these words are quite true. In the American people of the early 20th century, hardship and difficulty forged a spirit of resilience and perseverance. And it was this resilience and perseverance during the dark and difficult times that fashioned these people into what Tom Brokaw described as the greatest generation. But you know, it is equally true that hard times create saints. In other words, Almighty God uses hardship to form his saints. For saints are forged in the fires of adversity and hardship. They are not made in comfort and ease. And thus, when the days were at their darkest, when the situation in the world seemed most desperate, when the church was beset by heresy and persecution, it was then in those times that God raised up some of the greatest saints to ever walk the earth. He raised up the apostles and their successors in the early days of the church to preach the faith and to strengthen the faithful in spite of the violent persecution which claimed the lives of 11.4 million Catholics in the first three centuries. When heresy beset the church at various times, God raised up St. Athanasius, St. Hilary of Poitiers, St. Cyril of Alexandria, and so many others to thunder against those who would try to pervert the faithful by their false and heretical teachings. When the Great Western Schism split the church in 1378, and there were two and eventually three claimants to the papacy, God provided the church with St. Catherine of Siena and St. Vincent Ferrer to help guide the faithful in those days of confusion and doubt. In 1517, when Martin Luther launched his revolt against God and the church, Almighty God was equal to the challenge. He raised up the likes of St. Ignatius of Loyola, St. Philip Neri, St. Camillus de Lellis, St. Teresa of Avila, saints who were instrumental in counteracting Protestantism and leading the faithful. When King Henry VIII severed himself and England from the church, and persecution started in England, Almighty God raised up St. Thomas More, Edmund Campion, and countless others, saintly men who provided the Mass and the sacraments for the faithful, who strengthened them in their fears, gave them an example to imitate, and who fought against the heretics by preaching and writing. When the Muslims threatened the very existence of Christianity, God blocked their way by raising up great saints, saints who would stand tall against the infidel. Saints like Pope St. Pius V, King Fernando III, King Louis IX, and numerous others. And when Freemasonry and its offspring, atheistic communism and socialism, reared their ugly heads, God raised up saintly men and women to oppose these wicked men who espoused the impious beliefs. In the 1920s in Mexico, there was Father Miguel Pro. In the 1930s in Spain, when political, social, and economic unrest were stirred up by the socialists and anarchists, there was a Father Dionisio Pamplona, a Sister Maria Sagrario, and countless others. And then in China during the Communist Revolution, which began in 1949, there was Bishop Francis Xavier Ford, who steadfastly strengthened the faithful under his charge, and who in the end was arrested and tortured for the faith. Time does not allow me, my dear friends, to enumerate all of the saintly men and women who lived through the various crises in the church and in the world. But the point is this: when the times were at their darkest, Almighty God raised up saints to be beacons of light, shining examples of faith, of courage, and of confidence in Almighty God. Now, while each and every one of these saints was great, they will not go down in history, so to speak, as the greatest. That might come to as a surprise to some. Some might think that to be somewhat of a bold statement. And when you look at what the saints of years past have accomplished, it is a bold statement. But let me read to you what St. Louis de Montfort writes about the saints that are to come. He writes, "Towards the end of the world, Almighty God and His Holy Mother will raise up great saints, saints who will surpass most of the other saints in holiness." Continuing, he says, "These great souls, filled with grace and zeal, will be chosen to oppose the enemies of God who shall rage on all sides. They will be exceptionally devoted to the Blessed Virgin, and illumined by her light, strengthened by her spirit, supported by her arms, sheltered under her protection, they will fight. They will give battle, overthrowing and crushing heretics and their heresies, schismatics and their schisms, idolaters and their idolatries, sinners and their wickedness. They will thunder against sin, they will storm against the world, and they will strike down the devil and his followers, carrying on their shoulders the standard of the cross, the crucifix in their right hand, and the rosary in their left." What St. Louis de Montfort means, my dear friends, is that a generation of saints is coming that will tower over the saints of the past. It will be the greatest generation of saints the world has ever seen. And it will be the greatest because the saints of the latter days will face the most extreme trials and hardships in the history of the world, as our Lord Himself foretold. But the saints of the latter days will face these adversities with resilience, and they will triumph over them. Now, whether or not these are the latter days, as Pope St. Pius X thought that they were in 1903, one thing is certain: our times call for saints. For the times in which we live are dark. They are quite difficult. They are days in which the faith of some could easily begin to waver. But as God raised up great saints when times were darkest in years past, he will do so today. And God may even make use of us if we let him. But we must dispose ourselves for this great mission. We must show Almighty God that we want to become saints by striving for holiness day in and day out. Pope St. Pius X once said that in our days more than ever, the main strength of evil men lies in the cowardice and the weakness of those who are good. And all the backbone of the kingdom of Satan lies in the weakness of easygoing Catholics. And what he means very simply is this: evil enjoys some success because they work hard at what they do, while the good stand by and do little or nothing. St. Pius X said that in 1913, a little over 100 years ago now. And if his words were true then, how much more so today? Let us, my dear friends, on this glorious feast of all the saints, let us resolve to be the ones Almighty God can count on in these turbulent days. Let us strive to be the beacons of light and holiness of our time. Today, as we go in procession and then kneel before the Blessed Sacrament exposed on the altar, let us ask Almighty God for the grace we need to become the saints that he desires us to be. And then let us do our part in striving for this holiness, keeping the commandments better than we ever have, being faithful to the practice of our faith, receiving the sacraments as often as possible, saying our daily prayers, especially the rosary, being devoted to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and uniting our will with God's, trusting in divine providence, confident that God is in control, and knowing that nothing happens without his permission. The times in which we live, my dear friends, are not ordinary times. We cannot then be ordinary Catholics. We cannot be common. We have to be uncommon. Uncommon by our desire to be a saint. Uncommon by our readiness to recognize the gravity of the situation in the world. Uncommon by our willingness to do something about it, by striving to be the saints that God calls us to be. May then we pray through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Queen of all the saints, may we become the saints of our times. May we, if God so ordains, be part of the greatest generation of saints, or at least precursors of it. And may we one day, when we have finished our course, may we be found worthy to be numbered among the great multitude, which St. John describes in today's epistle, the multitude of saints who stand before the throne of God, clothed in white robes and holding palms in their hands. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.